Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final push before your GCSE maths exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need to feel confident about probability. I'm going to walk you through the key concepts, show you exactly how examiners think, point out the mistakes that cost students marks every single year, and then finish with a quick-fire quiz to test your recall. So grab a pen and paper. Yes, actually grab one. Because the best way to learn probability is to work through it as we go. Let's dive in. Let's start with the absolute foundation, the probability scale. Every probability is a number between 0 and 1, inclusive. 0 means the event is impossible, it cannot happen. 1 means the event is certain, it will definitely happen. Anything in between represents how likely the event is. A probability of 0.5 means an even chance, equally likely to happen or not happen. Examiners will sometimes ask you to place events on a probability scale, and they want to see you using correct numerical values, not just words like likely or unlikely. Now, here's a rule you must memorize. The probabilities of all possible outcomes of an experiment must add up to exactly one. This is called the exhaustive rule. If I roll a fair six-sided die, the probability of getting a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 must sum to 1. If you're ever given a probability question where the probabilities don't add to 1, that's your signal that something is wrong, or that you need to find a missing probability by subtracting from 1. This leads us to complementary events. The probability that an event does not happen equals 1 minus the probability that it does happen. So if the probability of rain tomorrow is 0.3, the probability of no rain is 1 minus 0.3, which is 0.7. Examiners love at least one problems, and the slickest way to solve them is always to use the complement. Instead of calculating all the ways you can get at least one, calculate the probability of getting none and subtract from one. Next up, frequency trees and two-way tables. These are your tools for organizing information when you're given data about groups of people or objects. A frequency tree splits a group into categories at each stage. For example, 100 students, 60 play sport. Of those 60, 40 also play a musical instrument. Of the 40 who don't play sport, 15 play an instrument. You can read probability straight from the tree by dividing the frequency in a branch by the total. The key skill examiner's test here is conditional probability from a frequency tree. The probability of one thing given that another thing has already happened. You find this by restricting your sample space to just the relevant branch. Now let's talk about Venn diagrams. A Venn diagram shows two or more overlapping sets inside a rectangle called the universal set. The intersection, the overlapping bit in the middle, contains outcomes that belong to both sets. The union, everything inside either circle, contains outcomes in set A or set B or both. A common exam question gives you a Venn diagram and asks for P of A given B. That's conditional probability again. You restrict your view to just set B and ask, of everything in B, what fraction is also in A? So P of A given B equals the number in the intersection divided by the total in B. Now for tree diagrams, probably the most tested tool in this topic. A tree diagram maps out a multi-stage experiment. Each branch shows an outcome and its probability. The golden rule, multiply along branches to get the probability of a combined outcome. Then add the probabilities of different branches that give you the same final result. For independent events, like flipping a coin twice, the probability on the second set of branches stays the same regardless of what happened first. But for dependent events, like picking colored balls from a bag without replacement, the probabilities on the second set of branches change, depending on what was picked first. This is where so many candidates drop marks. If there are 10 balls in a bag and you pick one out without replacing it, there are now only 9 balls left. The denominator changes. Always adjust it. Let me give you a quick example. A bag contains 6 red balls and 4 blue balls. I pick one ball, don't replace it, then pick a second. What's the probability of picking 2 red balls? First pick, 6 red out of 10 total, so probability is 6 over 10. Second pick, now there are only 5 red balls left and 9 balls total, so probability is 5 over 9. Multiply along the branch, 6 over 10 times 5 over 9 equals 30 over 90, which simplifies to 1/3. Notice how the denominator dropped from 10 to 9. That's the without replacement adjustment. Right, let's talk exam technique. First, always check your probabilities sum to 1. After completing a tree diagram or frequency tree, add all the final branch probabilities. If they don't sum to 1, you've made an arithmetic error somewhere. This is a free self-check that takes 10 seconds and could save you marks. Second, label everything. Examiners award marks for clearly labeled branches on tree diagrams. Write the outcome and the probability on every single branch. Don't assume the examiner can read your mind. Third, the without replacement trap. This is the most common error in the whole topic. Candidates see a probability question with 2 picks and just use the same fractions twice. Always ask yourself, is this with or without replacement? The question will usually tell you, but you have to read it carefully. Fourth, don't confuse and with or. In probability, and means multiply, or means add, but only if the events are mutually exclusive, meaning they can't both happen at the same time. If they're not mutually exclusive, you need to use the addition rule. P of A or B equals P of A plus P of B minus P of A and B. Forgetting to subtract the intersection is a classic error. Fifth, for at least one questions, always use the complement. Calculate the probability of none of the event happening, then subtract from 1. It's almost always faster and less error-prone than listing all the ways you can get at least 1. Sixth, when a question says calculate, you must show you're working. A correct answer with no working shown may only receive 1 mark out of 3 or 4. Show every step. Okay, quick fire quiz time. Cover up your notes if you can. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What must all probabilities of exhaustive outcomes sum to? The answer is 1. Question 2. A bag has 5 red and 3 blue balls. I pick 1 without replacing it, then pick again. What is the denominator for the second pick? The answer is 7, because 1 ball has been removed. Question 3. P of event A is 0.4. What is P of not A? 0.6. 1 minus 0.4. Question 4. In a tree diagram, how do you find the probability of a combined outcome across 2 stages? You multiply along the branches. Question 5. What is the formula for conditional probability P of A given B? The number of outcomes in A and B divided by the total number of outcomes in B. How did you do? Let's wrap up. The big 5 things to take away from this episode are: 1, all probabilities live between 0 and 1, and exhaustive outcomes sum to 1. 2, use the complement for at least 1 problems. 3, multiply along branches in a tree diagram and add probabilities of different branches that give the same result. 4, always adjust the denominator for without replacement problems. And 5, for conditional probability, restrict your sample space to the given condition. Probability is one of those topics where a few clear rules applied carefully can get you most of the marks. The examiner is not trying to trick you. They're testing whether you can apply these rules systematically and show you're working clearly. You've got this. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.